Romans 1 and 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to beast, and birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I want us to notice that verses 16 and 17 speak to us of the gospel. It tells us there's good news about Christ. And that good news about Christ is the dynamic. It is the power of God to save everyone who believes. Because the gospel makes known to those of us who are believers God's righteousness, saying that those who are righteous live by faith. That God gives it to them, and He gives them life when they trust Him. That He delivers from sin all those who believe by giving them the righteousness of Christ. And so the main part of the text that we read, verses 18 through 32, tells us why this is necessary. It tells us about the state of man before and in his sin. And as he spirals deeper and deeper and deeper into sin, all the while experiencing, knowing, and seeing God's judgment even in this life. And so let's look at this, because if you notice, he says God's wrath is presently revealed. Verse 18. Not that it's going to be revealed, but it is right now revealed. It's revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So there's a truth that people know. This truth is that there are things known of God, knowable about God, that we know within ourselves. God has made Himself known within us as well as to us by our external senses. We know within us that He is. So there are invisible things of God that are yet clearly seen. In other words, what He's saying is, there are some things that about God you can't touch. You can't see them with your naked eye. And yet it's patently obvious to everyone that they are there, that they are real. He's eternal. He's eternally powerful. And He is God. The very Godhood of God is revealed in creation. Because all of creation knows that. It's not a mystery to mankind why we worship. Not at all. It's not astounding to mankind that man worships by nature a single God, and it is by nature that he turns to him, and yet it's by sinful nature that he turns to multiple gods in whatever form he may. Because all of the world is aware of the existence of a single, one true God who made everything. Because we know it and see it every day. It's part of our nature even to know this. And honestly, it's not even something that is debatable or should be debatable. And yet it's the very thing that, verse 18, that people suppress is the knowledge of who God is. And by the way, if you look and say that God is eternal, there's no beginning nor end to Him, His power is eternal, and that He has Godhood, that by nature and merit of His very character, that He deserves to be worshipped and adored, then we're saying God is glorious. He's beautiful. He's desirable. He is greater than any and every other person. In fact, not only is He greater, there is none His equal. Because it is impossible for two separate beings to both be almighty and all wise and all powerful and all good. But man suppresses that. And so man's without excuse because, verse 21, he knew God. Mankind at the very beginning knew God. God made Himself manifest, so to speak, in a form face-to-face, didn't He, to Adam and Eve. He has made Himself known to us in certain fashions. That's why the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, is so important and is on what we would call the table that relates to our relationship to God. Because God's plan is to give a picture of Himself to children at home in their parents, first of all. And people know there's this huge being. It's ingrained within us. And that's why, by the way, the evils of ill parenthood are evil. Not just because we're mistreating a child, but we're misrepresenting God in so doing. And so it's a many senses of evil within child abuse and neglect and such. Mankind knows God. Mankind knows God naturally. But does mankind give God the glory? And the answer is no. In fact, he said, weren't even thankful. What does the Bible tell us in chapter 3, verse 23? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And see, what we're looking at here in the passage before us is the issue of sin being that which does not value the glory of God. It doesn't look at God and find Him pleasurable. It doesn't look at God and find Him desirable. Doesn't look at God and say, wow, that is true awesomeness. And look how beautiful and just majestic and royal greatness our eternal God is. In fact, most people just spend their lives just living. don't spend time taking time to be thankful to God. We even have a national holiday that we call Thanksgiving, to which people are generically thankful to a generic who knows what, or just call it Turkey Day. Why? Because it's our nature that we don't actually appreciate the worth of God for who He is. We don't appreciate God's glory for the blessing it is, because we don't take the time to realize that it's in Him we live and we move and have our being, that every breath comes from Him. Even at our best, we're often like that, which is sad, not thankful. And that's just the beginning of sin. A neglect to just acknowledge God's worth, to not say thank you, to not praise Him. And by the way, we're at a point in our churches today, and it's been part of my burden over this past week, that in preaching, that we're not truly worshiping as we should. Because we're not really recognizing God for who He is. The joy doesn't bubble up in our heart. We've been like this for so long that all of my life coming up, we've always thought and acted, if somebody raised their hands or said praise the Lord, that they were probably putting on a show. In fact, they ought not to say amen too much, especially in broad daylight. Because after all, there's some folks over yonder, they do all that, and we know they don't have the truth. And we're the ones with it. And so we have to be very careful that even what we call worship sometimes just becomes ritualistic emptiness, where we actually aren't acknowledging God. Well, they became vain and empty in the things that they thought, and their hearts became darkened. Sin leads, listen to this, sin leads to a darkness which is not just a thing that's spiritual, but it's actually even intellectual, because he says, you know what happened? They said, we are wise. But what did they become? Fools. And so what, instead of not just giving God the glory, they pursued empty promises. That's what we do. And they made a trade, verse 23. They took the glory of the God who is imperishable, incorruptible, undecaying, in every way good and eternal and everlasting. And they said, what we want to do is we want to make a substitute. And so they made statues of men, of birds, of animals and creeping things. Even, in other words, they even took the reptilian world. And they made statues and idols of even snakes and salamanders and lizards. And they said, these are your gods. And they worshiped those things. They looked around the world, and when a problem would arise, even if you'll recall, the Philistines were smitten with a certain sort of swelling the Scripture calls an emerod. They associated it evidently with mice, so it was probably some plague that God smote them with that was carried by rodents. And how did they think that they were going to appease the Lord God of Israel? They made images of the mice. Maybe, just maybe, if we will acknowledge the strength of the mouse, that somehow or another, that the plague will depart from us, and that the Lord will, in conjunction with this mousy God, or gaudy mouse, whatever it is, you know, that He'll remove our sickness from us. You say, wow. It's amazing that people would be just so empty-headed. But people do that today. That's why that advertising is the way it is. It comes and it appeals to people, making them feel that if they don't have the latest, the greatest, the most expensive, the finest, whatever, it's going to appeal some fashion. There's something out there that they know you have a desire and a longing for in your heart, and they're going to make you feel like, I'll never be happy without this thing. And all of a sudden, we are so convinced that we go to pursuing this thing, thinking, without this, I will never be complete in my life. Sometimes, you notice how this world is? People are doing that with relationships. Over and over and over again. I'm just amazed at how people bounce from one relationship to another. One day their heart is broken and a week later they're all in love again with somebody else. And somehow or another, that's going to solve all the problems in my life. Well, no, you've done it six times. This next one's not going to do anything extra. And it's just everywhere you look. I mean, is there a family that's not touched by that?
No.
And all of a sudden, see, we have our own idols. We erect them. Sometimes we have an idol of a lifestyle because we look at everybody else's perfect life on Instagram and Facebook and everything's perfect about their life. You don't see where they're at. You know, up to here and their eyeballs and above in debt because they're financing this perfect life and they're fighting like cats and dogs behind closed doors. Amen. And they actually hate one another more than they love each other, seems like. But we've got this God. Hey, I've got to pursue and be like them. And when people became like this in the pursuit of worshiping things in this world, well, they gave up God. So verse 24, God gave them up to uncleanness. So they were dishonoring or degrading their bodies between themselves. God let them go farther in the sin. He said, I'll let you go farther. You can pursue that and you can find your pleasure. I'll just let you do it. Here's my judgment for your neglecting me and turning to the things of this world. I'll let you go farther. I'll let you go and fall into fornication. I'll let you go after one sexual relationship after another, thinking that somehow or another, I'm going to find joy and gladness there that God cannot give me. Because what did they do? Verse 25, they changed or exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And they worshipped and served what is created rather than the one who is the Creator, who is forever blessed, forever to be praised. You see, that's the nature of sin. Plunging farther and farther in the pursuit of our joy outside of God. You see, fornication and sexual sin is not just sinful because it's a breach of trust whenever you do that in any fashion. It's a sin when it is conceived in our hearts, when we think, this is what will make me happy. I'll never forget, and I wish that all the world could understand this, I'll never forget the statement that an older minister made to me one day. We were talking about some problems that we were having and had dealt with. And there was a particular man who was chasing, he was married with grown children, and he was pursuing another man's wife. And he made the statement, he said, if he ever catches her, and gets her to be with him, it's going to be the biggest letdown of his life. That'd been a good place to say amen, because it would have been. Amen. He didn't get her. You know what? She called the law on him and he was put in jail for stalking. Served him right, praise God. But it's that's what it is. We build something up so much. We want it so much, and when we get it, it doesn't satisfy. So what do? Got to have more, don't we? I mean, isn't that actually the allure and the passion? What is it that makes addiction so bad? You never can get what you got the first time. Because you're always chasing it. You're always chasing it. Because surely it'll satisfy me. Got to keep going back to this same dry well. And because they didn't find the reason to glorify God, but they worshiped created things, people. God says, fine. You've given up on me, I'm giving you further into sin. You can follow vile affections. You've worshipped the creature, you found it won't satisfy. Let me tell you, you've been after natural things, I'll let you go after unnatural things. And so that's what he said he did. Women with women and men with men. He says it's against nature. It is not what is physically correct. It's not how we're made. In other words, just to be blunt, he's speaking to a world and looks and says, they don't even understand plumbing. And not only that, the futility of the emptiness of their mind is causing them to look and say, this is more fun than God. This has more to offer me than God has to offer. Amazing, isn't it? God gives life, and what does that bring? I haven't looked in a long time. It's been about 15 years, but did you know that the median age of death of the average homosexual male about 15 years ago was age 47? That's a deadly lifestyle, isn't it? It's a killer. And people get all up in arms and people get upset and they say, oh, you're just so hateful. Why? Why is it hateful to say, you're killing yourself? You're destroying yourself. Not only your body, but your soul and your mind. Because God, you're looking and pursuing and worshiping things that are unnatural. You see, the whole essence of the sexual revolution that began in the 60s and 70s that's bearing such bitter, rotten fruit today was not about freedom. It was not about free love. Because love has nothing to do with it in one respect. Because it's not love one for another. Exactly. It's a love of self. It's a love of creation. It's a love that is not a godly love. It's not a biblical love. It's not a healing, healthy. There's a love involved, but it's a love of worship and a worshipful love of what that which is contrary to nature even. It's a rejection of God. And I know the big saying has been for several years, right? Love is love. Okay? Well, let's say love is love. Well, who deserves our love? Who is worth more of our love, worthy of our love, any more than the God who made us, who gives us our very breath? The nature of sin is to always walk farther and farther away from Him and turn our back on Him and pursue our pleasure in the things that we love instead of Him. That is the nature of sin. Amen. He said, in themselves, they receive the payday. It's a fitting payday. Verse 27. It may not be a single payday, but ultimately it comes down to just one, doesn't it? Death. And since they didn't even want to cling on to the thoughts of God, they didn't want to hold on to God in their minds, God said, okay, your mind can be totally unacceptable to me. You started off with just a little bit of a darkening of your hearts. Now your heart is totally unacceptable. Why? They're going to do things that are not convenient or fitting or right. In fact, what they're full of is a long list: unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, full of malice, envy and murder and debate and deceit. And they have this malignity, this evil disposition. I mean, evil is just eating at them like a cancer. And by the way, they're whisperers and backbiters. They're always behind someone else's back. They hate God. They're despiteful. They're arrogant. They brag. They invent evil things. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding. They think they're wise. They think they're smart. They think they're on top of the world. Some of them even think that they're actually worshiping God while putting Him out of their conscience. Amen. Amen. They break their promises. They don't have true affection. That's why they can, by the way, kill their babies or murder and dismember other people, store them in their freezers, such as that. You can't make peace with them, implacable, and they're unmerciful. And you know what? He said they know God's judgment. They know God is righteous. They know that those who do such things deserve to die. They deserve to be separated from God. And they just keep on doing them. In fact, they enjoy watching others do them.
Amen.
They enjoy it. And they think, this is the life. That's the nature of sin. It's always looking and saying, no, God just doesn't have what I need. He doesn't have what I want. You see, in verses 28 through 32, up to this point, people have been making an exchange. They've traded the truth of God off. Now, they're not even trading it. They just gave up on God. And so He gave them a mind that's empty of any common sense and wisdom. Not even a trade anymore. We're just going to leave Him. We can make it without Him. We don't need these Iron Age and Bronze Age superstitions. We don't need these hateful Christians around us. If there is a God, He's love. And I mean, He's just like I am. Hey, maybe I am Him. You don't know. I mean, that's the arrogant opinion today. That's why next month they're going to basically bear everything and march down through the French Quarter in the Southern Decadence Festival. Did you notice there is no Southern Holiness Festival in New Orleans? They're not worshiping God on Bourbon Street. They don't have one of those. But there's a lot of worship going on down there. I'm telling you that. And we're not going to talk about them, but let's come back to the beginning. Where did it all start?
Amen.
We all have the same sort of heart.
Amen.
There's none righteous, no, not one. Chapter 3, verse 10 says. Verse 12 says, there's none that doeth good, no, not one.
Amen.
My heart is ungrateful. My heart is not thankful. My heart does not give God the glory that it should. And neither do you.
You see, the thing that I want us to notice is that the nature of sin is not so much the deed,
but at first the heart. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say about lust in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28?
When a man looks at a woman to lust after her, he has done what? He's committed adultery with her already in his heart.
Before you ever did it, you sinned. We focused a lot on deeds all of our lives, and we've had our hearts in the wrong places so many times. People aren't sinners because they're murderers. They're murderers because they're sinners. People are not sinners because they're homosexuals. They're homosexuals because they're sinners. People aren't sinners because they're thieves. They're thieves because they're sinners. People aren't sinners because they're lost. They're lost because they're sinners who do not value God. And you don't have to be way out deep there. You just have to not have given God the praise that belongs to Him. You have to have only have failed to give Him thanks, and we've all done that
Because again, in chapter 3, verse 23, how many people did he say sinned and come short of the glory of God? All. That includes everyone and excludes no one. And thus, the need of the gospel, verse 16 again, it is the power of God to save everyone who believes. Because in the gospel, the good news is Jesus lived that perfect life that you and I have failed to live. He died on the cross, sinless, not deserving to die, but took our place. They put him in the grave, but he conquered the grave because the grave couldn't hold him because, hey, righteous people, sinless people, don't die and stay dead. It's impossible. He broke the power of sin. And so he said his righteousness can become ours. He took our place. He took our sin. Our sin became his punishment. Now his righteousness can become mine. It can be placed on our account. Because you do what? You believe. Because you see, we've spent all of this time looking at where our works have led us, haven't we? We've seen the very nature and working of the human heart as it manifests itself in this world. And so we can't change ourselves. Jeremiah says, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good which you are accustomed to do evil. All he was saying was, hey, you've got a certain heart. You've got a certain nature. You're never going to change it. You might can modify your behavior some, but you'll not change who you are. He's been dead a few years now, but I think everybody knows who Michael Jackson was. Most of his adult life, he tried to become something other than just a normal black man, didn't he? I don't know what all he did. All the surgeries, the nose jobs, I don't know how in the world he did that with the pigmentation. But he changed his color. Was there ever any doubt in your mind of his descent? And it wasn't because we knew him when he was young and he was, you know, with his brothers and sisters. It was just obvious. And why he did it, I don't know. I mean, I think that when God makes you what you are, we ought to try to be content as what we are to the glory of God. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being a black man, is there? If that's what God made you. Can't change it. You know what the leopard can't do? He can't change his spots. I scratched my head about that one time years ago, walking in a zoo, and there was a leopard that was black. I said, wait a minute. And then the fellow was talking to us. He said, and if you look very closely, you can see that there are darker spots on him. There's never been a leopard ever able to swap his spots out for tiger stripes. Never. And there's never been a man able to change his heart to be right with God. Amen. But in the new birth, that's what being born again means. God gives us a new heart. The gospel saves us from ourselves, our sins. He changes us. Not me. If you've got any age on you and you've had much accomplished in life and experienced much in life, you know that there are numerous things you cannot change. Give up on changing yourself. Jesus died to do it. He paid the ultimate price and the sufficient price. It was enough. And when he rose from the grave, he demonstrated his power to conquer sin. If you'll trust him, he'll do it for you.